We're currently taking a short break to refresh and recharge. In the meantime, this edition was first published in 2020. Welcome to God in the Ordinary, a podcast to help you reveal God to others during your everyday. Special guests share their stories with songwriter and author Sharon Tedford.
Today, my guest is a small business owner who is the mastermind behind a thriving mobile nail salon. She also manages a creative cafe run by her local church. She's a wife and a mum to two teenage daughters. My guest, small business owner Fiona Thomas. It is such a pleasure to have you with us here on God in the Ordinary today, Fiona. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Would you tell us, please, where you are? Because we have guests from all over the place. What country are you in, first of all?
I'm in the UK, in England.
And whereabouts are you?
Oh, so we're west of London in a county of Buckinghamshire.
Lovely. And I used to live very close to there. So I know that it's not concrete. It's not city, is it, where you are?
No, quite rural. Fields and yes, very, very pretty.
Indeed, not like Dallas at all. So we're really glad to have you. Thanks so much for joining us today. I know that your story is going to really encourage people. I wonder if you wouldn't mind starting by sharing with us your reflection on Isaiah 61.
Isaiah 61 really resonates with me because I was the one who was in need of God's good news. I was the one who was poor, actually quite lost. Maybe not financially, but definitely spiritually. I was brokenhearted and definitely needed release and freedom. And through God's patience and kindness, and through the patience and kindness and prayers of some faithful friends, God definitely brought about breakthrough, release, freedom for me. I'm so very grateful for that. And now in my work, I have found that wherever I am, and whether I'm doing nails or teaching a pottery class, I can get alongside people who are themselves in broken places and show them love, God's love, which goes beyond anything that I can muster up, encouraging them to keep on going and bringing a bit of a Jesus perspective that maybe they haven't thought about.
Fiona, you said in your reflection that you were the one who was poor. Can you explain to us what it was that made you realise you were poor and perhaps what was the turning point for you?
I'd grown up in a Christian home and, you know, everything should have been brilliant and God should have been like centre and amazing. But actually through a few things and that had happened in my childhood, I just felt really distant from God and didn't really know where he was and trying to kind of conjure that up almost wasn't really the... It was just really hard because you look around church and you see everybody like raising their hands and they're all praying and they've got such faith. And I was really like, oh, really? Is this? There was a blockage, I think. I think that's really what it was. There was something stopping the connection with God. And I really wanted it, but it was just really hard to find it. And also, you know, it wasn't even like I'd kind of grown up with it. So I should know how to connect with him. So actually I felt really lost and my spiritual life was just poor because I couldn't really connect with him in the way that I wanted to or felt that I should do. Yeah.
So do you feel that looking around and seeing other people expressing faith was something that really drew you to look at your own faith? Was that the turning point for you, seeing other people expressing a true faith?
Yeah, I think I wanted it. I think I really wanted to feel that way, but I didn't know how to get there. And so I got more and more disillusioned. And then chatting with like church leaders or just in my own kind of, how do you get that God kind of thing? How do you get there? Do you know, how do you experience that? And so trying to find out, I think I just got disillusioned. So I started to give up a bit, I think, which then led me to feeling more and more poor spiritually because it wasn't happening. And so, yeah, I just started to give up really because it was too hard. It seemed impossible. And yeah, where actually was God? Where I am, where I live and my family and my everything, I had everything. But the spiritual side of me, the God side of me was really, where are you? And that left me really empty, I think.
So how did you get rid of that blockage and that feeling of being lost and poor? How did you eventually find yourself being filled up by God?
Well, I had some friends who really stuck by me and didn't give up. So when I was totally giving up, they were like, no, God really has good things for you. And although I didn't really believe it, or I wanted to, but I couldn't, I was just stuck. But they just carried on just loving me, getting alongside me, just being there for me. And sometimes it wasn't even a Christian kind of talk. It was just like, let's go and have a cup of tea or coffee. And we didn't even have to talk about the stuff that was bogging me down. It was just, they just got alongside me, which I totally appreciated more so now. At the time I did, but now even more you look back and go, gosh, you just loved me and wanted the best for me. So a very dear friend of mine was so full of faith and was like, God can break through, Fiona. You don't have to feel like this. So she said, right, this is the day. On this particular day, we're gonna pray and we're gonna ask God to break through. And she asked me to ask some people to pray at that time when we were meeting. And I was like, oh, I don't even know anybody who'd do that. She said, just think about it. And so I asked a few people and they were like, of course we'll pray. And I was like, oh, really? Honestly, I had no faith at all. So we took some time out and we sat in this room and we prayed. Well, she prayed. I just sat there crying, and God totally, totally broke through. Now, the thing that was really stopping me was shame. And once we kind of realized that, she prayed so much more into releasing me from the shame that I was feeling from years of stuff that had gone on. And like from childhood even. So once that was all gone, once God really broke through on that, it was like, I felt so clean. And then I had this like connection with him that wasn't hindered anymore. And that to me was the breakthrough day. So, you know, I still get emotional about it. I think because I'm just so grateful that he was still bothered to stick by me, even though I'd given up, he was still there going, come on. And then the faith of my friend was, you know, even more so. So yeah. It was definitely a pressing in, somebody believing more than I had the faith to believe. But actually, because of that, now I see that he is in the business of breakthrough and giving us freedom and releasing us from those things that hindered us, things that actually weren't even my fault as a child, but were put on me. So, you know, there's loads of stuff that you just think, gosh, that wasn't even anything, that wasn't my fault. I mean, there are stuff that we do that we totally put on ourselves and we have to ask for forgiveness. But actually, that wasn't really anything that I'd done. And I just felt he still wanted me to be free. And because of that now, I can now share with other people, not so much what he's done, but actually he can do it for you too. He totally wants to be bringing restoration to everybody.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that so openly. You know, that's a real encouragement for me that you said somebody believing for you was what drew you, you know, just like in the Bible where the friends of the man brought him to the roof where Jesus healed him and they had to lower him down through the roof. It was the faith of that man's friends. And that's really important for all of us. I love that. Fiona, as you look back on that Fiona who was sat in that room, clearly it still raises emotions in you. What differences do you see in yourself today from the Fiona who sat with so much fear and probably anger in that room then? What's different about Fiona Thomas today?
I know I'm freer. Around that time too, I'd had counselling as well, just to try and clear up some of the mess that I was in. I was seeing a counsellor. I'd seen her for over 2 years. I kind of felt we were coming to an end maybe. I felt the freedom that he had given me, but it also released a load of stuff in me, creativity being one of them. Now, I was always a bit of a creative being, but it just birthed this new stuff in me that I was like, oh, you know, I kind of found where I was supposed to be even. It just opened up this whole new world of purpose. And yeah, I just felt this real, like a, yeah, it was just a release into something new. that I couldn't have done before, I don't think. And interesting, I knew I was coming to the end of the counselling and stuff, and I used to be late for counselling because I'd be busy doing creative stuff. I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry I'm late today. I was just got engrossed in. And she'd be like, oh, that's fine. And I would miss bits whereas before I was there on time, I had to make sure I had every bit of all the minutes that I was allocated. But towards the end, I was just like, oh, yeah, I was just painting, or I was just drawing these flowers, or I was just... And so I knew then that I was... released from that, you know, I was freer from that and I had purpose.
I love that phrase that you were released into something. You know, sometimes we think about release being freed from something, which is true, but you were also released into something. So since we're talking about creativity, let's talk about that for a bit more. Could you first of all tell us about your business, Unique Like You? Tell us about what people will do when they come in through the doors of Unique Like You.
So I manage a Unique Like You, which is a pottery painting shop, which is owned by our church. And I am well blessed to be the manager. And they pretty much said, do you want to do pottery painting? And I was like, yes, that'd be great. And they said, here, and let me run with it, basically. So the name comes from the fact that everything that's made and painted on the premises is unique. And we are unique. God's made us to be unique. And so whatever is made is unique. And just like you are unique, you're here for a purpose. God has planned you and he's made you. We have Psalm 139 on the wall just to remind people that actually they are here and God's really got a purpose for you. So so we do pottery painting. I run pottery classes, so clay. And we do painting parties, and we've got an artist that hires the space out to do classes for painting. So there's lots going on there.
It sounds like a lot of fun. If I was nearer, I would be a customer.
Perfect.
You said earlier that you found God in being creative. Whilst you're creative, you can understand more about your relationship with God. How do you think creative activity reflects the heart of God?
Our strapline is inspire, create, cherish. And on a really like basic kind of thing, we want people to be inspired to create something that they're going to cherish forever. But on a really deeper level, which is really my heart, is that God was inspired. Ooh, I'm getting emotional again. God was inspired to create us in his image. We are cherished. And that's really what I want people to get about the place. But also because God is the ultimate creator, he is the most creative being, because look what he's done with the world, with us, with everything. How can we not be creative people? And I find that people coming into the shop, they get to put their phones away. There's no technology. Especially in classes. So this is like, if you talk about a class, we run those in a block of six. So they come for 2 hours every week for 6 weeks. And they just stop. And they don't have to think about anything else except the thing that they're making. And it really shifts something in their heads of using a different part of their brain. And they don't have to think about anything. And they go away. The amount of people that say, oh my goodness, this is the best 2 hours of my week. And you can just see that some people say, oh, I wasn't going to come today. I'm so glad I did. And, you know, they sit around a table and they talk and they share. And all of a sudden, I find that once your hands are busy, your mouth opens. And the stuff that people share is just incredible. You just don't, you know, you'd never even think it is. You know, we live in a quite an affluent area, and you just think these people have got it everything. They don't need anything. It's just, you know, they're, you know, look at me, I'm fine. But actually, they've still got hurts and heartbreak and pain and all of that. So they share these sorts of things. So actually being able to sit alongside somebody and getting creative with them. And you know, some things that come out, you look at it and go, oh, it's all right. You know, it's, for me, everything's brilliant. I just love everything that comes out because people are making it. If somebody else looked at it and go, oh, yeah, that's a bit rubbish or whatever. But, well, I'll just tell you about one lady who came and she was making a bowl. It wouldn't go right. It kept flopping down. I was like, no, don't worry. We can make it. And we changed the plan and she made what she made. And once it was fired, it survived the firing, which is always a bit of a dodgy thing. And then she painted it. It was rustic. I would say it was rustic. But you know what? I gave it to her that day and she cried. She said, I can't believe I made this. I can't believe it. I'm so proud of myself. And that's what it does. People realise that actually they can. And I always say to them, they go, oh, it wasn't really what I planned. I said, no, it is. We always say, that's what I always intended to make. You know, it's not like, you know, they might look at something on Pinterest and go, I would like this, but it comes out differently. We're like, no, that's how it's supposed to look. So people get moved by the stuff they're doing just by being creative. And I don't know how that happens, but I think it's God.
You said that your clients come to you for 6 weeks at a time, so you have an opportunity to really get friendly and build relationships with them. When they leave, do you tend to continue that relationship, not just in Unique Like You, but also in your other business as your mobile nail manicure pedicure business?
With the pottery, it depends. It depends what kind of relationship we have. Some people just come in and they do one little six-weeker. That's it. And you'll see them around the village and they'll go, hi, that'll be it. I have a group of ladies who've been coming back time and time again. They just re-sign up for the next 6 weeks and they've really bonded. And they, quite early on, they set up a WhatsApp group between them and then asked if I wanted to be involved with it. And I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, let's go out for lunch. And so they go for lunch and meet for coffee. And then, because we do pottery classes in term time. So in the holidays, I just don't do that because I do stuff with children sometimes. And we don't do it for adults in holiday time. But they're like, oh, no, we've got 2 weeks. What are we going to do? And so sometimes they might just come in and paint anyway, or they'll meet for coffee on that morning or whatever. So we're in a little group, which is so amazing that they've included me in that. And actually through this time that we've had of lockdown has been, you know, amazing. We've met for walks and every Thursday morning is the pottery morning. We've done a creative thing on the Thursday morning and then shared the pictures. So in our own homes, you know, when we were serious, not allowed out, they've shared, oh, I did this today, or I've painted stones, or I've got to paint by numbers or whatever. So we've all tried to do a creative thing when we should have been doing pottery. And one lady's been going through cancer treatment through that time. Another lady's mum is in a home, so she's not been able to visit her. Her dad was in Australia, stuck there because he couldn't fly home. And so all of these things have been happening in these ladies' lives that we've been like, oh, well, I'll pray for you about that. Is that okay? Can we do this? And, you know, are you really okay? And sending private messages as well as our group messages. And so that's a bit of an exception to the rule because we've built a bit more of a relationship and done a bit more. But like the lady who cried about her pottery, she's really hurting. The things that she says sometimes, I think we'll touch on it a bit later.
You can continue to share here. That's okay. Why don't you tell us that
story?
Can
I share?
Yeah, do that. That'd be great.
I was just talking about hearing and listening more, listening to what they're saying, but actually hearing what they're saying. And she says stuff and you go, actually, I think this is really what you're saying. By the things that come out your mouth, there's more to the story. And but she's been messaging me quite a lot through this time, which I thought she wouldn't. But there's obviously been a connection there, which is really special to me because she's a lady that really is hurting and really would need Jesus and has said in the past, well, my sister-in-law goes to church and I would quite like it, but I don't think it's for me. So by saying those words, I just feel like there is more. And so slowly we've been, well, not really so much this time, but she will be coming. She's one of the ones that really wants to come back to pottery now that we're able to start up again. And I just pray for her that God will sort of break through, really.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Fiona Thomas. I hear you talking, as we've been discussing now, you mentioned prayer a lot. That seems to have mm-hmm. been what started you off, how you found yep. release and freedom. And that is a natural part of your ordinary rhythm of your life. In your job, mm-hmm. you use prayer as a way to direct people towards Jesus. And again, another story that we were chatting about before we got on air, because, you know, that's what girls do. Could you tell us about the times that you have prayed with a lady who used to be one of your manicure clients and that beautiful story about her reaction to prayer?
Oh, I do manicures and pedicures. I go to people's homes and do that. And do you know, the same thing happens. I'm just holding someone's hand for 45 minutes, making their nails look pretty, and their mouth's open, because you're not really looking at somebody going, "So tell me, how are you?" Your head's down. You're just busy doing what you're doing. And their mouth's open. They tell you. It's like going to the hairdressers. I bet hairdressers know a lot of secrets that
they do.
Tell anybody else. I'm the same. So I get the privilege of hearing a lot about people's lives. And I held her hand for about 5 years, all in all, and she was just the most adorable lady. She told me all sorts of stories about being in the Blitz and finding the sweet shop that had been bombed and seeing if they could find the sweets and all those sorts of stories that were lovely. But then also shared that when it was firework night, that would absolutely bring back terrible memories of being bombed. So she was just lovely, but she really found it hard. She had a real hardness in her about her mum, who had multiple partners or husbands and children from different ones, but she was the one who was left to look after the children while her mum sort of swanned here, there and everywhere. She really had a problem with her mum and couldn't get over it. And I said to her, you know, I know exactly what you're feeling, that, you know, you feel like really bitter towards somebody who's passed away. And this is, I had the same feelings. I said, I know exactly how you feel, because I'm really angry at somebody who has died, and I can't say this is what you did to me, this is how I was hurt by you, or your actions were this, you know. I couldn't say that. But through the time that I was talking about earlier with the release and some other prayer that had come after that, God really freed me up from that, because he took that bitterness away from me. Because I couldn't do anything with it, but actually just saying, please, can you just take it, and I don't want it anymore, and I'm giving it back to you to deal with however you're going to deal with it. I don't need it. That God really released me from that. And I said to her, I said, you know, that's the only way that you're going to be free from this, is if we pray and you ask God to take it. And she's like, oh, well, how do I do that? And I said, well, let's just pray. Now, throughout some of the times, we'd had some God conversations, and she'd she was a bit responsive, but then I'd be reading my Bible and I'm like, oh, I think she'd like that. I think she'd like that verse. So I'd write it out on a card for her. So I just had this verse this week, and she, oh, that's really good. That's lovely. And then so I gave her a few of those, and I took her to a little church cafe in another village nearby, and this girl in there said, oh, have you heard of this verse? And she read out this verse, and she's like, Fiona, you gave me that. And I was like, I did. She's like, wow. And she said, is that really true? And I was like, yes, it is. And then I'd give her another verse another time. She's like, you'd read it. And she said, this is the truth, isn't it? And I was like, it is the truth. And so because of that relationship we built up, it's nothing major. It's just the odd sharing Jesus with her, or the Bible, or some verses. I said, this, we need to pray about this. You need to ask God to help to bring release from the bitterness that you have towards your mum, because it's the only thing that you can do that will bring you freedom from that, those feelings. She said, I'm going to do it. So she did. She didn't do it with me, but the next time I went in, she said, do you know what? She said, I feel amazing. She said, I don't hate her anymore. And I was like, that's it. That's exactly it. She just carried on, and she gave her life to Jesus in the end. I said, because she kept saying to me, she lived with some very religious ladies who told her she was never ever going to go to heaven.
Nice.
Because she didn't go to church.
Wow.
You don't go to church, so you're never going to go. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, going to church is not going to get you to heaven. I said, you go to a garage, doesn't make you a car. And she's like, oh. I said, it doesn't. I said, the thing about church is it gets you to hear about God, to use what you've heard to take out into the world to share with other people. It gets you praising God when we're singing, and we're learning to pray to him. And it's a way for us to have fellowship with each other and fellowship with him. And that's really what it is. I said, but it doesn't get you into heaven. And bizarrely, but not really bizarrely, because it's totally God, I'd written out the prayer, you know, the salvation prayer. And I had that on me, and I said, this prayer is going to get you to heaven. She was like, oh, well, I'm going to say it then. And she did. She said it every day. I said, you don't have to say it every day. No, I am. She said, I feel so much at peace that I say it every day. And it's just incredible. She was fab.
Thanks for sharing that story. It's incredible that something as ordinary as a cup of coffee and a post-it note or a card written with the scripture on that you just hand to somebody over a conversation is life-changing. It's eternity-changing for her.
Yes, it totally was. Totally was.
Fiona, as we come to a close, I know that you're from a missionary family and your family have been all over the world in other countries serving God. Do you think that you, in a tiny, beautiful English village, that you're still a missionary?
Yes, I am. I totally believe I am. But I never thought that I would be a missionary in Chalfont St Peter. I thought that I had to be in Africa, because that's where my parents were missionaries. I thought if I was in an orphanage, looking after children, that was where I would find my purpose. That is where I would be fulfilled. But actually, where I'm at, doing what I'm doing, is where God wants me to be. And I never, ever thought that that would ever happen. And you know, the other thing I've just been reflecting as we were chatting before and emailing, it's not hard. I thought you have to suffer. I'm not saying it's not hard all the time, because sometimes it is. But in the things that I've talked about today, they have not been hard to do. Getting alongside somebody and giving them a Bible verse every now and then, or just sitting and listening to them as they're telling you that, you know, their husband's really poorly, or their sister-in-law's died, I don't really know what to do about that, or my partner's just gambled away 100,000 pounds and I'm beside myself. All these things are not hard to do for me. It's just a case of listening and then also hearing what God says through you to them. He hasn't asked me to do anything that I can't do. It's not out of the realms of my capabilities. He just empowers me. Now, the first time that you're kind of stepping out and saying, oh, I'm going to share this Bible verse, it's going to be a bit scary, or I'm going to offer to pray for them, oh, I don't know what they're going to say. The first time you do that, it really is quite hard. And you think, oh, what, they might just laugh at me, or I don't know. But more often than not, people go, you care that much? What, this, or, you know, and the Holy Spirit uses that. Do you know? You step out, he just almost gives the flood afterwards, like, you know, like the lady, she's like, this is the truth. I'm like, well, yeah, it is the truth. Yeah, it is the truth. Yeah, totally is the truth. You know, you stepping out in faith, giving her a Bible verse, but she's been touched beyond. And the fact that she's given her life to Jesus and, you know, bless her, now is in heaven with him. Brilliant. It wasn't hard. And so that first step is a bit nerve-wracking, but he asks us to do it.
Fiona, it's been really good chatting with you today. It's really clear to me that you have found real release and real freedom. And the way you live your ordinary life is to share in an ordinary way who God is and how people can meet him. So thank you so much for joining us today. It has been a pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary, presented by me, Sharon Tedford. My guest today was Fiona Thomas, small business owner. If you live near Chalfont St Peter in Buckinghamshire and want to find out more about her creative cafe, you can do so on the Facebook page Unique Like You.
For our show notes, go to 61-things.com. This podcast is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production. We pray that you're encouraged to reveal God in your everyday.